Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios down here in Atlanta, Derek Gould will join me momentarily. This is presented by Lordo's Diamonds, and it's brought to you in brilliant clarity. Lordo'sDiamonds.com, Lordo'sDiamonds.com. Mention my name or the website and get extra savings off on your jewelry purchase. Well, Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch last night, a convincing win for the St. Louis Cardinals. Let's start with that. What were your takeaways from game one of this series against the Braves?
Well, they have remarkable luck against Fulton Avis there in Atlanta, don't they? I mean, what, one run for every inning they faced him down there, or pretty close to it. Three-run homers from guys, too. You know, I think one guy you expect to hit the home runs, and the other guys are complimentary home runs. Four times on base for Dexter Fowler. More, I guess, logs on the fire of the conversation of whether or not he should go back to leadoff. But overall, just a really strong performance from the offense, Dan. And it was about time in one of those Jack Flaherty starts that he had a bounty of offense to pitch with. I thought he did well. His fastball had sizzle. He continues to show off one of the better sliders in the game, especially as far as starters go. I mean, it's him and Corbin, really. And, you know, why he doesn't get deeper into that game, why with an 11-run lead he sort of starts nitpicking or falls apart with his mechanics. I think that's sort of the next evolution of Jack Flaherty. We've had some talks here. I know I spoke with my colleague Benjamin Hockman yesterday, and you and I have spoken. I'd like to get your thoughts on this, that, you know, being as good as he was last year is not the idea. Being better than he was last year is what the Cardinals are counting on.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is saying that, and I think at times, as Brad Thompson pointed out on the telecast last night, there are times when mechanically he just gets a little out of whack, drops his arm, ball sails on him, or it doesn't break like he wants it with the slider. So, young guy, and I'm sure that he'll figure that thing out. I want to go back to Carpenter and Fowler here for just a second. As you mentioned, it is a hot-button issue. Matt is struggling at the top of the lineup, more so than – should Fowler hit first or Wong or whoever you want to put up there? What are you seeing right now out of both guys? What are you seeing out of Carpenter? What are you seeing out of Fowler?
Wow. Well, Fowler, we saw swings just last night, and we've seen this. You know, I was watching your telecast. I'm back in St. Louis. Rick Hummel is up the keyboard there covering the series, and I'll rejoin the team in Texas after having a couple days here in St. Louis, and we can talk about why here later. But you know, one of the things that stood out to me in watching the game and watching your coverage of it was the home run swing by Fowler. I'm not sure we saw a swing like that all last year. And I think we've said that a lot, like starting in spring training. I'm not sure we saw a line drive like that. Well, not really sure we saw him handle that pitch like that. Really not sure that we saw him swing with that authority like that. And there's just example after example. And I think there's a comfort in the box, even, you know, there towards the end, he gets in the box from the right side, and there was not a, well, how do I fillet this pitch just right to land it, or how do I take a walk? There was an assertiveness. Now, he got a walk, but there seemed to be like an assertiveness in his awareness of the strike zone, his comfort for the strike zone, but also his eagerness to swing. And maybe that's what stands out most, is the authority, which is what we talked about going into spring training, to be candid, is that what the Cardinals wanted to see from him was an authority. I can do this. I can play this. I'm comfortable with this. My body is letting me do this. I'm eager to do this. And I think we're seeing that with the swing. With Carpenter, I think we're seeing a guy. Well, first of all, do you agree with that kind of assessment of Fowler?
Yes. I also think he opened up his stance, got more upright in his stance from the left side, which allows him to get the bat through the zone. So I think it's both mechanical, and I also think that it's also a situation. So he's able to get to the inside pitch, and and you know, like last night's a great example, how the bat whips through the zone. It doesn't sweep. It doesn't drag. And I think that's a major difference with him. I also think, as I pointed out in the telecast, I think his relationship with Mike Shildt,
it's very strong.
It's very strong. And it
and
was
his
not
relationship with his teammates is huge.
Right, he's engaged.
I mean, we're seeing that more than ever.
And that's part of his personality and the full package. So all those things coming together, we're watching a different player. So that's what I think there. And with Carpenter, my thoughts would be this. He's just not his bat to me is sweeping. Like, you're seeing a lot of lazy fly balls to left, and maybe it's a byproduct of him trying to beat a shift and go the other way.
It is.
And, you know, maybe develop some bad habits. Who knows? But right now, the numbers aren't there. So if you're Mike Shildt, I think you're looking at all options in your lineup. You're doing that on a daily basis. But with Carpenter, it's also a fragile situation, too. You don't want him to get buried mentally. So it's very, very complicated. But, you know, I think the Cardinals do have to look maybe in that direction. We'll see.
I don't think Carpenter is at risk of being buried mentally in this sense. I've talked to him about it, and he said, you know, this is such a different lineup when Fowler's going well, with Goldschmidt in it, with Colton Wong hitting like he can and like he did last night, like he's capable of doing, or at least getting on base, with Ozuna going well. And Carpenter said it's such a different lineup because it's not on 2-3 guys to carry it all the time. And he always felt like he was one of those guys, you know, a middle order hitter who happened to be hitting at the top of the lineup because, yeah, that's where he was comfortable. That's what he liked to do, and that's where he had success, and that's where the team needed him. So I think he's kind of aware of, hey, if you can add depth and hit your way back to the leadoff spot while the team is winning, I think what would do harm is if they replace him with Fowler, Dan, and then they struggle. Then he would take some of that on his own, right? Like, hey, what do I got to do here? Two things about both of those guys. One, I also think that Fowler opened up on the right side, and I haven't looked at the video, and maybe you know this off the top of your head. He seems to be closer to the plate on the right side. Certainly was last night, and I think that benefited him. I think he's got a better sense of the strike zone from the right side. That's sort of where he cues for the strike zone because that's his natural side. And so I think that's interesting. And then with Carpenter, you're dead on. He is trying to reconnect with his former self, Dan. He's trying to connect with the guy who was a gap-to-gap power, who the shift didn't foil, who could drive the ball to left field, who could find doubles in that left-center gap, who did tag balls off the wall in left field. And right now, you know, the height is underneath him. You know, his line drive rate is down, his strikeout rate is up, his walk rate is down, his fly ball rate is up, and he is seeing fewer fastballs than ever. Fewer fastballs than ever. In fact, the top two spots in the Cardinals lineup are seeing fewer fastballs than at any other point in their career.
Yeah, I pointed that out on Sunday with Goldschmidt. It's amazing how the Phillies approached him. He saw a total in that three-game series of 18 fastballs. Total of 18 fastballs for a guy that's averaging close to 4 to 5 pitches in a bat.
He saw, was it Carpenter or Goldschmidt? One of them in the Cubs series saw 4.
Right. So
I mean, oh no, in one game, saw 4. 21 pitches in one game, 4 fastballs. It's crazy. And fewer than half, that's what it was. It was Goldschmidt. In that series against the Cubs, less than half of the pitches he saw were fastballs. Now, granted, he was facing Hendricks, so we get that, fine. But still, that's a remarkable split.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, Blues fans, pick up the St. Louis Blues hat trick at the Schnucks Deli. You get a half pound of a Schnucks Deli meat, a half pound of another Schnucks Deli meat, Schnucks Deli cheese, all of that ready to go for just $8.99. It's the St. Louis Blues hat trick at Schnucks. And while you're scoring the hat trick, make sure you score some Schnucks Rewards points too. All you have to do is download the Schnucks Rewards app. And as a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues, Schnucks would like to say, let's go Blues. Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. Hair Salon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Salon for Men, 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Salon for Men.
Let's talk a little bit about Marcell Ozuna. Kind of a tough night for him because I thought the home run was fair. And then on the double play ball, I thought he was safe, but you're up by 8 runs, so you're not going to challenge. So
right.
he still gets a 3-run homer. But I want to ask you, because I know fans are curious about this, and you reported on it, others did as well. He changed agents, so no longer with Scott Boras. Does that change his approach at all of what's happening potentially with the Cardinals in this this season, a free agent to be?
I don't think it immediately does, no. I don't see the momentum building on either side, nor reason on either side. I do think it's worth noting that, you know, his locker is very close to Yadier Molina. He obviously has become friendly and friends with Yadier Molina. And the agent that he now has is Yadier Molina's agent, who has a really good relationship with the Cardinals for obvious reasons. I mean, he's worked out deals with Jaime Garcia, same agent who worked out the extension for Jaime Garcia, the multiple extensions with Yadier Molina, including the current one, and let's be candid, the forthcoming one. With the way he's playing, he's getting pushed from friends and family and now probably from himself to play beyond this 3-year contract that he signed that he thought would be his last. So that's coming on the horizon. So there's obviously a working relationship there. You know, Francisco Pena, even represented by the same guy, if we want to go that way. Melvin Roman, strong, knows the value of his clients, knows the value of a legacy player like Molina, and knows the value of keeping a guy in a spot where he's comfortable. And I think that's of interest to Ozuna when we look from, you know, 30,000 feet and down the road, you know, if I can mix cliches there, where, you know, Melvin is going to find, going to weigh, take into account where he's comfortable. That may be the Cardinals. That may not be. You know, it may be a return to, you know, somewhere in Florida. Maybe a situation that Ozuna wants to chase somewhere else. I don't think that this leads, or I don't think this indicates some kind of positive direction towards an agreement with the Cardinals, because the Cardinals still see left field as a place where they could put Jose Martinez next year. They still see left field as a place where maybe Tyler O'Neill takes over next year. They still see left field as a place where they'd like to get Dylan Carlson eventually, maybe open that up to him for to compete next year. And they still see that some of that money that they would commit to Ozuna as possibly being needed to commit to pitching, certainly needed to commit to some of the pitchers they already have on staff. When they look at their budget, they're going to have to figure out a way with Hicks and Flaherty to discuss with them some kind of extension like we saw them do with Adam Wainwright nearly a generation ago. So keep all that in mind. I think it leads to the fact that Ozuna wanted, probably saw what free agent was like, definitely saw the relationship that Yadier Molina had with his agent and wants to be in a place where he's comfortable. Whether that's the Cardinals, well, you know, the Cardinals have a good working relationship with Scott Boras too. Let's not forget that. So I'm not sure if that changes it or creates momentum, but it certainly changes the view for Ozuna.
Finally, Derek, you'll be busy tonight. You've got a book signing. Tell us about your book that we've described on the podcast, and you can listen to that. 100 things that Cardinal fans should know and do before they die. You've had a revision of the first go around with that, and now you got a second one and also a book signing. So fans have a chance to get that book signed and meet you tonight. Where are you going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Left Bank Books in the Central West End starting at 7 o'clock. So I know that there's a lot on the sports calendar right now. They'll obviously be tuning in to listen to you call the game. There's a hockey game going on. So lots going on. But I wanted to do something that wasn't just a book signing. Left Bank Books was kind enough to kind of offer this opportunity to just get to a bookstore and chat about baseball. I'll sign books, like you said, but more so we'll just talk, have a conversation about baseball. I'll be there for questions, sort of a chat with a live studio audience with a bookstore as a backdrop. I think it's a it's a cool opportunity. I'm really flattered that they would invite me to do it. And yeah, if you want to get Father's Day gifts or belated Mother's Day gifts or graduation gifts, I'll be happy to scribble in some of the copies of the book there. And if you can't make it to the event tonight, there'll be autographed copies available there at Left Bank Books for purchase later. And there are autographed copies at the Fairview Heights in Illinois, the Barnes & Noble there in Fairview Heights along Illinois Street right by the mall. There's autographed copies there, too, if you want to purchase them.
Thank you, Derek. We'll catch you up tomorrow. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to it, Dan. Thank you very much. Have a great game.